We just started last week talking about principles of praise. It's just going to be a short series on praise. You know, the Bible repeatedly says, praise the Lord. And it's not just a little catchphrase. It's actually an instruction that tells us, hey, you, praise the Lord. Okay? It's something we should do. In fact, the idea of praise is referenced more in the Bible than many of our core doctrines, things that really we build our faith on, aren't mentioned as often as praise is. Now, last week, we talked about the purpose, the power, and the practices of praise. We were created to praise God. That's part of our purpose. He built us to praise him. And when we do, it attracts his attention and it silences the enemy. So that's powerful. And there are many ways to praise the Lord. You know, we can sing, we can shout, we can lift our hands, we can bow down. However, we can go through all those motions and still not really be praising God. In Isaiah 29:13, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. I don't want to be one of those people that God says, hey, you say all the right things and you're doing the right things, but your heart really isn't there. And so God deserves our best praise. God deserves what today we're going to talk about, authentic praise. Praise is more than just outward activity. There's a heart that goes into it. So let's talk about authentic praise. And in John chapter 4, we'll start at verse 19 and just read a few verses. I'll read and you can follow along. You know the story. This is Jesus is at the well and the Samaritan woman comes and Jesus asks her for a drink and they have this conversation. And then pretty soon she says, sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Okay, she was pretty smart because Jesus just told her life story, so she caught on that he's a prophet, all right? And then she says, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So let's talk about authentic praise. And here's my first thought this morning. Authentic praise is focused on the potentate. That's a big word. It means the one in charge. Authentic praise is focused on God. And here it is in verses 21 and 22. Jesus references the Father. You know, the woman wanted to talk about the place of worship, but Jesus says we worship the Father. So authentic praise is not about a specific place or a specific group of people, but it's about Father God. It's all about him. It's focused on him. And so let's talk about God just for a moment. What do we know about God? And why should we praise him? Well, one of the most common phrases about God in the Bible is found in a bunch of places, but let me just give you one reference. Nehemiah 9:17 says that he is a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Now, that's quite the contrast to many popular ideas about what God is like. So many think that God is the angry man upstairs that just can't wait to thump you when you mess up. But the Bible says that he's actually forgiving and gracious and compassionate. He's actually slow to anger, and he's abounding in love. That's who God is. Psalm 145, verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. And in Joel 2:13, it says all those same things. And then it goes on and says, and he relents from sending calamity. You know, there's a lot of times that we get ourselves into trouble. Has anybody else ever gotten into trouble? Okay. Sometimes we dig our own holes, right? and we get ourselves into trouble. And many times we deserve whatever comes our way because we got ourselves there. However, there are times when God just simply intervenes because that's who he is. He relents from any calamity. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that God loves us. He shows us mercy. He makes us alive with Christ, and he raises us up to heavenly realms. That's who God is. And so authentic worship, authentic praise is focused on him. And as we often say here, God is good and all the time. That's right. He's our Father, and he's a good Father who took drastic measures to rescue us. So authentic, heartfelt praise focuses on him. Authentic praise also flows from a right perspective. In verses 23 and 24, Jesus talks about true worshipers. And worship really means to kneel, to do homage, or to come near and kiss the hand. It's the idea of just really showing reverence and respect for somebody. And then he says true worshipers. So, you know, not just in name and appearance, but in nature. We are true worshipers because it's part of who we are. So our perspective is not like some religions where we have to appease an angry deity. Okay, but our perspective is that of sons who have been rescued by our Father, and so we honor him. Okay, and Jesus says true worshipers worship in spirit. That's with all that is within, not just outward sacrifices, but it really comes from the depths of who you are and everything that you stand for. Philippians 3:3 says, we worship by the Spirit of God. We glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. Now, last week we talked about all the various practices of praise and how physical it can be with clapping and raising hands and all of those things, and yet Jesus is telling us here that it's more than just doing all the stuff. It comes from your spirit. It comes from within. It comes from your very heart and soul to worship the Lord. And we worship him in truth. That means with absolute sincerity. We really mean it when we say the words, I praise you, Lord. God, you're awesome. God is good. We really mean it. We're not just saying little catchphrases. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. And so we draw near to God when we're sincere in our praise and worship. When we get the right perspective, authentic praise just flows naturally. Think about who God is and think about everything he's done for you, and that will inspire authentic praise. All right? Now, authentic praise is what the Father pursues. Jesus says that in verse 23. This is the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Now, we talked last week about the power of praise, and it's powerful because it attracts God's attention. It's powerful because the Scripture says God inhabits the praises of his people. And so he is drawn to our praises, and ultimately he actually dwells in our praises. So he pursues us when we praise him. I think that's pretty cool. A lot of us are looking around kind of sometimes wondering, where is God? Anybody ever been there? Kind of wondering, God, where are you? You know, and we're trying to find God. We're trying to draw closer to God, and I think we should go after God and pursue him. The Scripture says that he actually pursues us when we praise him. And so one of the ways we can go after God is to just praise him wholeheartedly. Psalm 53, verse 2 says, God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. And so he's looking around. Is there anybody out there that's really coming after me? Is there anybody out there that's really praising from their heart? God's looking for that. He is pursuing authentic praise. And as followers of Christ, we long to experience the presence of God. Can I get a witness on that? If you're authentic follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you love to experience the presence of God and look forward to the day when we will see him in all of his glory. But we can experience his presence even now. And when we praise him from our hearts, he is drawn to it, and we can actually experience the presence of God here and now. And then authentic praise is fueled. And now we're going to flip over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, just the one verse, and we'll make a couple of points from here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So authentic praise is fueled by our perception. Here the writer talks out, he begins his conversation, "I urge you, brothers and sisters," okay? And so that's an important perspective we need to understand. We are part of the family of God. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're in the family. And it's not like, "Hey, you're in the family." You know what I'm talking about? It's not the Godfather kind of family. It's the family of God. We are brothers and sisters together. And, you know, we already talked about how great God is, about our Father who has rescued us. But let's continue this point, because this all means we have become part of the family of God. And that's a big deal. Okay? You're not just some. You are a child of God. Whoa. That's a big deal. John 1, 12, "To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You can be a child of God. And I know many in this room say, "I already am. I've received Christ. I believe in him." But I want to say, if there's anybody else here in the room that doesn't yet know what that means, I urge you today, believe in Jesus. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. It's really not that complicated. Just invite him in. I've often said, you've been in charge of your life long enough, and look what mess you've made of it. So why don't you turn it over to God and see if he can do a better job than you? And I guarantee you he will. And then you can become a child of God. 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. That's really a pretty awesome thought. And then Romans 8:16 and 17 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Now listen, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." Okay, are you catching on here? Not only are you going to be a child of the living God, but now you have an inheritance. Maybe I'm the only one that gets kind of excited about that. We have an inheritance. That's pretty awesome, folks. We have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now think about this. Biblically, children receive an inheritance from their parents. That was the practice. And many still do today. But as followers of Christ, we are God's children, and we receive an inheritance from him. Now, how's that for perception? That should fuel your praise when you think about that. I'm a child of God, and I have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. That ought to get you pumped up, okay? And back here in Romans 12, it says, "In view of God's mercy." We always need to remember his compassion and his pity on us. The truth is, according to Scripture, we were all completely lost and doomed in our sins. But God chose to show us compassion and rescue us, and we should never, ever forget that. 1 Peter 2:10 says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You get the big transition that happens when you decide to follow Christ? How did God demonstrate his mercy to us? By sending Jesus to die on the cross in our place. And when we really understand what God has done for us and how God views us as his children and what he has in store for us that is yet to come, it fuels authentic praise. It should light a fire in you when you think about these things. And then, finally, authentic praise is a full presentation of ourselves to God. Here in Romans 12:1, it says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies. That means your whole self. It's the idea of surrendering to the Lord. This is authentic praise. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Romans 6:13 says this, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. So give your whole self to the Lord, including your body. Serve him. It basically, if I could just put it in a phrase, it goes like this. Lord, whatever you will, wherever you say, and whenever, I surrender. I say yes to you. That's what we're talking about, making a full presentation of yourself to God. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. I surrender. That is true, authentic praise and worship. And he says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And, of course, that's a kind of a contrast with the Old Covenant where they had the sacrificial system and they literally killed animals and blood was shed and they made a sacrifice. And now it's saying here in the New Testament for us that we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. So we don't literally kill ourselves, but we die to ourselves and we live for Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So this living sacrifice is about daily dying to yourself. It's about repeatedly giving your whole person to the Lord. And so if you understand, in the Old Testament, a sacrifice, what happened to that sacrifice? It was killed, right? It was the end for that animal, okay? So when we're talking about being a living sacrifice, that means we're coming to the end of ourselves. And that means it's costly. You're going to have to give up who you are and what you're going to do and surrender that to the Lord. Now, the Lord may let you continue some of those things that you're accustomed to, but he might want to change some things around. And if he's the boss, he has the right to do that, doesn't he? If he's the homeowner, he has the right to remodel, right? And so we surrender and we say yes to the Lord. And that can be costly when we give up our plans and surrender to his purposes. But it's also a continual process. You know, most of us come to a point where we make a decision for Christ and we decide, Lord, I need you. Please save me. Come into my heart. All of that. But if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know you kind of keep doing that the rest of your life as well. Right? Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. So we just keep on presenting ourselves to the Lord. And he calls us here to be holy. That means set apart, exclusive. And we already talked about how you belong to God. You're a child of God. You belong to him. So give yourself fully to him and only him. Exclusivity to the Lord. That's holiness. And then it talks about being pleasing to the Lord. You know, when we give ourselves fully to God, that is true worship, and he is pleased when we give ourselves to him. But let's expand on this for a moment. What does that look like? Let me break it down a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says that when we take care of our family especially our aging parents, that pleases God. And so this full presentation, this surrender, means we surrender our families to God. And that pleases him. Romans 14 says that when we love each other, it pleases the Lord. And so we surrender all of our relationships to God, and that pleases him. 1 Timothy 2 says that when we pray for those in authority and live peacefully, it pleases God. And so we surrender our rights to him, and that pleases the Lord. Proverbs 15:26 says that when our thoughts are pure, it pleases the Lord. And so we surrender our minds to him. Philippians 4:18 says that when we give our money to God's work, it pleases the Lord. And Hebrews 13 says that doing good and sharing with others pleases the Lord. And so we surrender our money and our possessions to him. That one's usually pretty challenging for people. But guess what? He lets you keep almost all of it. The scripture plainly says that everything we have comes from him. Okay? But God lets you keep almost all of it. That's the way you should look at it. We surrender those things to him. Hebrews 10 says that doing God's will and living by faith pleases the Lord. And so we surrender our plans and our priorities to him, and we trust him with our lives. We give it all to him. That is authentic praise. And all of these things together become our spiritual act of worship. When we are focused on the right person, flowing from a right perspective, fueled by our perception, and giving a full presentation of ourselves to God, then we are truly worshiping. Then it is authentic praise, and that is what the Father pursues. He doesn't want us just going through motions. While the motions have a place and they're proper, he wants authentic praise that flows out of who we are, and authentic praise that says, Lord, I just give myself to you. The songs I sing and the motions and the clapping and all of that is just a part of me giving my whole self to you. I want to be one who is an authentic worshiper, an authentic praiser. How about you? Yeah. I don't want to just go through motions. I want to be the real deal. And so let's pray. God, I want to thank you for your word, how you continually speak to us through it. It's a living word. And Lord, I pray that you would work in us. Help us to be authentic worshipers, true worshipers in spirit and truth, and giving you our very best, giving our whole self to you, not just going through motions, but really from the depths of our being, praising and worshiping you. Lord, we surrender to you. We just say yes to you. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to close with a song that I think kind of fits the message today. You might want to stand.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.